All right, if you'll write this down, we are in the middle of our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is our fifth session, five of eight, our fifth session out of a total that will be eight. And today's particular focus, and write this subtitle down, is the revelation gifts. We're going to be talking about the revelation gifts. Let me just say four important thoughts by way of review. And I would encourage you to jot these down shorthand in some fashion. In addition, I want to give you some verses that will substantiate each one of these points. Number one, by way of review, we are taking the approach, as I teach this series, we are taking the approach that every true Christian, everybody say true Christian. So, you know, that's transdenominational, that's interdenominational. There's true Christians in every church. Every denomination, there's true Christians in the Roman Catholic Church. There are true Christians that don't know who they are, what they are yet. But we're taking the approach that every true Christian has been given the Holy Spirit. Already done. Done deal. When you accepted Christ, whether you knew it or understood it or not, at that moment, the Holy Spirit came into your life. You want some verses for that? We'll not turn there, but jot these down. Very clear. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13, very clear. It says that after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Another one for you, Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. It says that without the Holy Spirit, you are none of His. So, turn that around. If you belong to Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit. Thought number two. It logically flows then. See, if you really accept that, it logically follows that every Christian has available all that the Holy Spirit has. I mean, think about that. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you didn't get a piece of the pie. You didn't get a little sliver of God. When you had faith in Christ and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, guess what? All that God is, all that God has, was placed within you. Therefore, it is available to you. And there are two predominant areas that I'd like you to put down an A and a B on this one. Two sub-thoughts. A, the fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:22. How many of you know the fruit of the Spirit is already in you? You don't have to be praying this way. Lord, send me more patience. A more accurate prayer would be, Lord, help me to yield to your patience. So you've already got the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the character of God. And B, subpart B, would be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, this may be a stretch for some of you, depending on what church background you were raised in. I was raised in a church background that at least the time I was there, they did not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, didn't teach about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of the other Christians I ran around with at that time actually would say those things are not for today. They passed away with the apostles. And basically, you get the thought that after Jesus rose from the dead, we're kind of on our own until He comes again. I'm here to tell you that God is still moving in the earth. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, thought number three. This is by way of review, and I think it's important enough to take time to review it. If you believe that, if you believe what we've just said, that you have the Holy Spirit, therefore all that the Holy Spirit has is available. Thought number three, you must simply learn to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's on every level. Not just the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, the promises of God, every area. You must simply learn to yield. The if you allow me to use the word, the magic word, the miracle word there is yield. You must learn to yield. You don't work hard enough for it. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. You learn to yield. You must learn to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, I want to pause here and give two sub-points to this. Are you in 1 Corinthians 12? Did you find 1 Corinthians 12 yet? If you hadn't, give up and ask somebody where it is. Amen. There's a part A and a B to this one. Somebody says, well, I'm just not sure that you can, you know, at will yield to what God wants. Well, there's two sides to every coin. And let me show you this. Chapter 12, look at verse 11. Now, the people that do not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or perhaps they believe that they are extremely rare, this is their verse right here. Verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. But all these work that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man individually, please underline this, as who will? And that's implied who? The Spirit. As He, the Spirit, wills. So, you know, there's a lot of people that, man, they just hang on to that verse. Well, see there, Pastor, that tells me that, you know, you can't just yield to these things. You just kind of got to wait for them to knock on your door and show up. And so kind of to feint humility or feign humility, some people will pray like this. Well, Lord, I'll take it. If you want me to have it, go ahead. I'll take it. And there's really no desire. There's no faith there. It's kind of like, well, I've told the Lord I'll take whatever comes. Well, that's one side of the coin. Everybody say one side. Certainly, God at times will to minister to a people or to an individual, and you were minding your own business. It wasn't even in your thinking, and the Holy Spirit just rises up with His will and His desire. But He can even do that much, and if you don't somewhere get your desire hooked up, you can do what the Bible calls quench the Spirit. Same way with patience. It's not just the gifts, and I keep going back between these two because they operate virtually the same way. I mean, there's times where you're just about to lose it, and the Holy Spirit, that anybody had that little voice kind of, Jason, not now, Lord, I'm getting ready to get mad, you know. Oh, Jason, and the Holy Spirit is faithfully there, willing to try to help you. But let me show you the other side of the coin, please. Everybody say the other side. Go to chapter 14, verse 1. We've looked at this, but it bears repeating. Follow after love, and would you underline this, and what? And desire. Everybody say desire. Well, honey, there's the other side of the coin. That's your responsibility, not God's. It says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So as with everything in the Bible, there's the God side and the man side. Some churches camp around only the God side. Well, you know, God, nothing happens unless God makes it happen, and we haven't seen nothing happen in a long time. There's other people that camp around the man side, and they're always trying to make things happen. And that can get you in the flesh as well. You got to have this balance where, yes, God is in you to will of His good pleasure in any regard, but you have to also desire to cooperate with God. Are we together on that? All right, now the fourth thought I want to give you. We said you must learn to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. The fourth thought is remember our organizational system. Our organizational system. What was the first Roman numeral I gave you? The first category of gifts we said was the what? Speaking gifts. And if you missed these sessions, you need to get the tapes. The speaking gifts. There are three of those. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And last week we had a prophecy activation session. If you missed it, get the tape. You can still get activated via cassette tape. Amen. Roman numeral 2 is what? The what? The revelation gifts. And that's what we're getting ready to go into. The revelation gifts, there are three of these. And this is beginning where we're starting today. So you may want to jot these down rather quickly. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And category number 3, Roman numeral 3, the what? The power gifts. What are they? The gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. Now, draw a line across your page. We're starting into the revelation gifts right now. Let me give you the first one, and I like to give you a definition, then we'll look at some Bible examples. More importantly, I hope to give you some, can I just use some slang here, some tricks to the trade, some hints that will help you learn how to actually move in these in your life, in business, raising children, etc. Number one, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, and here's the definition, is a supernatural revelation of certain facts that are not naturally known. A supernatural revelation of certain facts that are not naturally known. Now we're going to see in a moment that this one needs to work in harmony with the next one that we'll get to in a moment called the Word of Wisdom. How many of you have had the information you need but you didn't know how to act on it? And so those two things need to go together. But this is not, a lot of people have said, well, I think the word of knowledge is when you go to school and you get a lot of knowledge. That's not the miraculous endowment the Bible's speaking of. It's speaking of there's no way that you could have known. Nobody told you ahead of time. You're not wearing an earpiece and somebody whispering you information like some crazy people have gotten into. It's that the Holy Spirit has quickened certain facts. Everybody say certain facts. That's why it's called the Word. Not all knowledge, the Word of knowledge. That are not naturally known. Now, if I could just give you this little diagram, maybe draw a little stick figure on your page, a little head with perhaps part of the abdomen. Here we're getting into trying to draw figures. I promise not to show you mine. If, Carl, I'm not going to show anybody yours. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And in the head part, or label the head part, the mind, and then label somewhere along the torso part, the spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit's just located in your torso, okay? But for the sake of study, I've got to do it some way. And then, here's the deal. Listen, I want you to draw a little dotted line going from the spirit up to the mind. That's what the word of knowledge is all about. The word of knowledge is simply the Holy Spirit trying to get some information into your thinking that perhaps you don't naturally know. And can you see the advantage of that? If he can do that, you business people really ought to get hold of this one. If you could get some information ahead of time, you are at the advantage. If you remember in Desert Storm, we were at the advantage because of our tremendous intelligence gathering capabilities. And now warfare has completely changed from the old days. Now the first thing they go after is what they call the eyes and the ears of the enemy. They send cruise missiles ahead of time. They try to knock out their radar systems, whatever systems they have for intelligence gathering. You get them blind, deaf, and dumb, so they can't talk to each other. They can't see. They can't hear. There's total confusion. Well, watch this. God wants to get us information so that we're ahead of the enemy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, let me show you some of the scriptural references on this so you can kind of to see this biblically, and then we're going to talk about how you can act on it in your life. Go with me to keep your finger there, by the way, in the 1 Corinthians 12 area. But let's go to Acts chapter 9. And I want you to see this in the Bible. Acts chapter 9. I dare say that many of you have had this happen in your life and you just didn't know what category to stick it in. Some of you have had, people call it different things before they're taught from the Bible on what this is. People call it, I just had a hunch. Well, I don't know how I knew. I just knew that I knew that I knew. I don't know. It just kind of dropped into my mind. People describe it all kind of different ways. And it's interesting, even some of those folks who say, I don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I try not to laugh out loud. I really do. I try not to laugh out loud because if they're a Christian, and they usually are, that's why we're talking about it, then it's almost laughable because they have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in them. They have the Holy Spirit in them, so they have everything the Holy Spirit has and is in them. And here they are saying, I don't believe that's for today. Well, that's just as dumb as saying, I don't believe telephones are for today, and there's one sitting right next to you on the wall. Hallelujah. It's ringing. Pick it up. Everybody say, pick it up. Oh, I don't believe in it. Pick it up and answer it. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Remember that old song? All right. Verse 19. Go to verse 19. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm getting myself plumb excited. Go to verse 10. Acts 9, verse 10. Now notice this. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Please underline the phrase, a certain disciple. Everybody say, certain disciple. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out, it didn't say apostle, did it? He's not an apostle. He's not one of those that walked with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. He's not one of the special elite. He's a disciple. His name's Ananias. He says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision.
Said the who?
In a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, now notice the information in verse 11 that's given to him. This is not naturally known. He didn't find it in the telephone directory of the day. What does God say to him? Verse 11, the Lord said unto him, arise, go unto the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas. That's getting pretty specific, isn't it? For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Now, this guy could not have known that. And here comes the Lord speaking to him and saying, here's the street's name. Here's the fellow's name that he's in, the house. But that's not the one you're after. There's another guy in there named Saul. And I'll even go ahead and tell you what he's doing. He's not sleeping. He's praying. And I want you to go to him, for I have a mission for you to accomplish. Now, can you see that that's knowledge that's supernatural in nature? Now, before we go any further, write this in your notes. The word of knowledge can come to you a number of ways. Let me describe them to you. The word of knowledge can come to you through, and we talked about this in one of our previous sessions, tongues and interpretation. That's one that you can actually learn to yield to and cultivate and practice in your life. If you miss those sessions, get them. But tongues, if I pray in tongues over an individual, And then if I come back and interpret, that is, the Lord gives me the interpretation, well, hello, something is being said that I did not know prior. So notice the speaking gifts jump you to the revelation gifts. And you're not through once you get the revelation, because the key is you got to act on what you now know in some fashion that'll jump you to the power gifts. So notice how they cluster together. The speaking gifts, used properly, will jump me to the revelation. It's either going to word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. It's going to show me something. If I, and there's the big if. Everybody say if. If I act on it properly, it will release a power manifestation. And we haven't studied those yet, but you can see the process happening there. Here's another way that you can get the word of knowledge. Prophecy. Most of the time, as we said, prophecy is simply edification, exhortation, and comfort. But there's been many times that I've been just speaking encouragement over somebody, and the Lord starts hitting on something very specific. Suddenly the prophecy kind of is clustering up there with a word of knowledge, or perhaps a word of wisdom. Another way, and jot this down, the word of knowledge can come through a vision or a dream. Through a vision or a dream. In fact, if you look back at verse 10, what we just read, it says, the Lord said in a vision. Well, what's a vision? Well, there's two kinds of vision. There's an outward panoramic vision where it's like you're looking at a theater. I've personally never had that happen. There's another vision that's kind of an inner vision where the Lord just kind of brings up a mental picture in your thought processes, and it's just as clear as though you did see the screen. There's another way it can come. Write this one down. What the Bible calls the inner witness or the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. You just hear. It's almost like your own thoughts, but it's like another person really speaking to you. That's the voice of the Spirit. Also, angels can come and minister to you in person. We'll see that in just a moment. But how many of you see that the word of knowledge could be a powerful tool if you could learn to yield to it in your life? Nobody raised their hands. How many of you would like to have this happen? All right, praise God. Just checking on you. Look at verse 11. The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire, he prays. Verse 12, he has seen in a vision. Okay, now on the other side of it, here's Saul praying and he's got a vision. Verse 12, he sees in a vision a man named Ananias. Not a man named Jason, not a man named Bob, a man named who? Ananias. Coming and putting his hand on his head. Putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, how many of you ever argued with God? Look at verse 13. Ananias says, Lord, appreciate the word here, but I've heard by many how this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. I don't really want to, you know, chase that rabbit trail, but it's interesting. The Lord speaks to him and he's like, tell you what, Lord, before I go down there, has he changed at all? I heard that he's been putting guys in jail for believing in Jesus. Thinking about disobeying. Everybody say, Look at your neighbor going, You've been thinking about disobeying. Don't do it. Go to chapter 10 now. I just want to show you a couple more instances. We could just go place after place in the Bible, but a couple more instances. This gift, by the way, even operated in Jesus' life. Remember the woman at the well? And he didn't know her. I almost said from Adam. Didn't know her from Eve. And here she comes to the well, and he starts saying, go ask for your husband. Boy, all of a sudden he starts moving by the Holy Spirit into a realm where she goes, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Go to chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, devout, one that feared God, with all his house, gave much alms. You know, he sounds better than most Christians do, doesn't he? Devout, feared God, gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. But you know what? He wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. All those qualities in his life, but he wasn't saved. Because that's the whole point of Peter going to his house to get him saved. Look at verse 3. He saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying to him. So notice there's a combination of a vision and an angel saying to him. Verse 4. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers. Notice what got God's attention. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, here comes the information. Please mark verses 5 and 6. Send men to Joppa. Not Atlanta, to Joppa. Call for one Simon. Not Fred, Simon. Whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner. How many of you believe that God and God's angels know just about everything? Oh, yes, they do. They have information that we have need of. And they're willing to speak to us if we will simply yield. Verse 6, he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Not in the mountains, by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, skip over verse 19. Let's jump across the country now. While this is happening to Cornelius, look what's happening to Peter. Verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision. Everybody say the vision. Not an angel. The Spirit said. Now underline that. Because we've seen angels speaking. Now we see the Spirit. The Spirit said unto him, behold, how many men seek thee? How many? So Peter's not, looking down the road with binoculars going, okay, there's three guys coming. Who are they? He's just meditating on this vision he had, and all of a sudden it says the Spirit begins to speak to him. There's three guys coming to your house. Verse 20, arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So you see how this huge miracle to the Gentiles is happening, and a big part of it is a word of knowledge that's happening. A word of knowledge that's happening. Number two, the second one, the word of wisdom. Remember, we're talking about the revelation gifts, and there's one that in 1 Corinthians 12 is listed, the word of wisdom. Here's the definition, write this down. Supernatural insight. This is the best definition I've ever found, and I've studied a lot of different literature about it. Supernatural insight concerning God's purpose, timing, or solution to any problem. Supernatural insight concerning God's purpose, timing, or solution to any problem. Now, if you don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't even make sense, because I don't think problems have passed away. So we need wisdom. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is simply called the word of wisdom. Supernatural insight concerning God's purpose, timing, or solution to any problem. Write this down in shorthand. This will help you get a handle on it. Think of this gift as a God idea, a God plan, or a divine strategy. That'll help you just make it simple. Think of this gift as a God idea. I mean, you want to get something accomplished, but how many of you know it's one thing to want to do, it's another thing to do it. A God idea, a God plan, or divine strategy. Well, let's think about the story that I just told you. And this is where sometimes it's hard to differentiate between the gifts, because they do tend to cluster together in their manifestations. But I believe, looking back, if you want to dissect that thing, to learn from it, it was a word of knowledge, number one, for the Lord to say, start a church. That was information that 20 years I hadn't thought about starting a church. Every week going into churches. When somebody said, start a church, I'd raise the crucifix, and holy water. I mean, we're going to rebuke that deal. I'm not starting a church. I don't mind visiting them, but don't want to live there. You know what I'm saying? Come on now, because some churches, there are mean people in some churches. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. And so that was a word of knowledge. It was a word of knowledge for the Lord to say, I want you to buy property to start, which is different than most folks, and go at it that way. It probably was a word of wisdom when I'd gotten to know, for the Lord to come back and say, now's the timing. Everybody say the timing. They kind of cross over in that story, but you can see the point there. Now, let's look at a couple of examples on this one. Go with me to Acts 11. Are you enjoying this? See, I'm teaching on this, kind of slanting this, Acts chapter 11, because, yes, we want the gifts to flow in our church services and so forth. But, folks, we're together such a limited time in church services. You really need to get a hold of these gifts for your personal life. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you want to know my personal opinion, are primarily not between the church walls. And there's a lot of churches, that try to make the gifts of the Holy Spirit like the center of activity at their church service. And it'd be quite honest, it can turn into a zoo or a circus. And they go out the door and then they don't know how to draw on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their practical everyday living. I believe it ought to be reversed. I believe we ought to be using the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the highways and the byways, raising our children to know when to say what, maybe to hold back at this point, even though they need correction. Maybe it's time to hold back. And God will begin to lead you by His knowledge, His wisdom, His information, so that you can be at the advantage. All right, look at this. Acts 11, go to verse 27. Acts 11, towards the end there, verse 27. And in these days came prophets. Everybody say prophets. You know, I wonder how you handle that verse if you don't believe in the fivefold ministry today. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I guess you just say they passed away. Well, they haven't. And in these days came prophets. And there's also the ladies' side of it, the prophetesses, from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. And underline this, and signified by the Spirit. I want you to underline that. Signified by the Spirit that there should be a great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, folks, do you see how amazing that? This is before the Weather Channel. This is before they know what El Nino and El Niña is. Before satellites flying in outer space, this guy, by the Spirit, nails it and says there is a drought coming, which would lead to a famine, there's going to be a shortage of food coming, and it says it later came to pass. That's a word of knowledge. Everybody say word of knowledge. But what are you going to do with that? Now you need wisdom. Look at the next verse, verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, underline this, determined to send relief. Determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And so here we see this man has information that could not naturally be known, but now we see them acting on the information with a plan of wisdom. Most churches would have said, let's put him on the prayer list. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for putting me on the prayer list, but send me a donation. Amen. It's like one old missionary I had. He said, folks, I appreciate the cards and all the little notes and all the funds you send, but if it comes down to a choice, keep the cards, keep the notes, and send the money so I can have my crusade. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, the shortage of funds is what holds back so many of these dedicated missionaries. Young, I bet you when you go get on the jet, is it Friday that your team is leaving? They're not going to, you just won't walk up there and say, clergy. Clergy. They're going to say, money. Ticket. And, you know, it takes funds to spread the gospel, especially when you go to a place literally on the side of the world like Tibet there. Go with me to chapter 27, Acts 27. Are you learning something? Acts 27. This is an interesting one. The Apostle Paul is being held captive and they're getting ready to take a boat trip. And the area there is the Mediterranean. And Paul knows by the Spirit that they're going to get caught in a storm. Not only is it the natural time or the season for storms, like in our hemisphere, we'd say, you know, it's the time for the hurricane season or whatever. But it's something supernaturally the Lord's showing him. Acts 27, go to verse 10. And said unto them, this is Paul speaking, verse 10. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Now notice verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed who? Anybody follow me? Look at verse 11. The centurion believed who? The captain, the master, and the owner of the ship, more, underline this, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now they're going to soon change their little tune. Paul says, man, I'm perceiving, I'm discerning, I'm picking up something that there's danger in this trip that we're about to take. And we don't need to launch out right now. Well, they don't know Paul. They don't know that he's an apostle. They don't have a track record with him yet. So they said, we're going with the captain of the ship. Everybody say, uh-oh. And some of you that we ministered over this morning, you better leave here with your faith in what God said about harvest time. You'll go out believing the lying vanities more than what the man of God said by the Spirit of God. You believe what God has said. If you believe it was from the Lord, then you put faith in it so that you can begin to experience what God has said. But look at the rest of this story. Go down to verse 21 for the sake of time. Skip over to verse 21. They get in this storm and they're just, you know, being tossed around. Verse 21. After long abstinence, That means he was fasting. Verse 21, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, there's humor here if you can see it, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Don't you love it when people say that? Should have listened to me. I told you so. Everybody say, I told you so. Sir, told you so. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now, verse 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. I'm sure the captain loved to hear that. For there stood by me this night, who? The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying... Now notice, here comes some information. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. You haven't finished your mission yet. Lo, God hath given thee... Underline that. Did you know the only reason the rest of the people on that ship were saved is because Paul took time to fast, and Paul specifically said, all right, I appreciate that I still have to go to Rome, yet, Lord, would you also save all the men on the ship? Would you do that? Don't care about the ship. Save the men on the ship. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Underline this. For I believe. Everybody say, I believe. Everybody say, I believe. Somebody out there. Ladies, this would be a great part of the verse for you to calligraphy. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Get hold of that for your life. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know what pastors believe in? I believe God that we'll get that space next door even as it was told me. I believe that our auditorium will seat between 400 and 500 even as I've seen. I believe that we will have the space we need for our children's church. I believe that we will have more than enough space for our youth ministry. I believe that it will be filled up twice on Sunday and we'll be praying about Saturdays. I believe even as it was told unto me. Thank you, Jesus. You say, how does this tie into the word of wisdom? Go to verse 30. Verse 30, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they'd let down the boat into the sea under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the ship, they were getting ready to jump ship, basically escape, Paul said to the centurion, verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except, underline this, here comes the wisdom, here's the plan, the strategy, here's what God has said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, in those days, prisoners were chained to the ship. If the ship goes down, they go down. Paul's not just saying this, though, to save his own skin. He evidently has heard in that time of fasting and prayer, you got to stay in the ship, which is against the natural way of doing things. You better stay in the ship or you're going to be killed. Well, I think if we jump ship or get in the life raft, that will save our life. No, here's what God has said. You've got to stay in the ship. But you said the ship was going to be destroyed. The Lord said, stay in the ship and you'll be saved. And of course, the centurion had finally learned to believe this man named Paul. And look at verse 32. He instructs the men under him. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Man, that's commitment right there. That man suddenly has some faith. Everybody say some faith. Now, let me just warn you before we go in any further into the discerning of spirits. And I need to kind of pick up the pace here quickly. But when you get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, you must use it properly. Please write this down. You need to consider how you're going to use this information. Because I have seen some people get a word of knowledge and embarrass someone in public. Are you there? I don't believe Jesus is out to embarrass people. I have seen some people get a divine strategy and they go about it in a rough fashion, treating people kind of roughly. I don't believe God wants us to treat people roughly. And so when these gifts begin to operate in your life, you need to consider, and here's just some thoughts, jot this down shorthand. Am I supposed to minister this now? Am I supposed to minister this now? Maybe it is appropriate to minister it in the prayer group or the home group or the church setting or wherever you're at. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's a time. Does what the Lord has shown me, do I need to act on it now? Do I need to make a decision now? And please write this one down. Some things are only for prayer. I will tell you the truth. I have, when you begin to have these gifts operate in your life, you can just kind of get in that flow. And there's been times I've been over here at Macy's or Rich's or Parisians or something, just standing minding my own business, and somebody walked by, and I just get a word of knowledge about their life. Normally, in a situation like that, it's not for me to run up to them and throw them across the clothes rack and say, "Yeah, that's it, God, you right there. The one that's having a heart attack, you know, right? You right there." No, it's for prayer. Everybody say prayer. So sometimes God will reveal you things that you're not really supposed to minister publicly or even in person, but you're just, God showed you that so that you can pray. Why? That's the mystery of prayer. God needs people on the earth to cooperate with His plan. We pray out the plans of God. All right, discerning of spirits, quickly. Discerning of spirits. And notice that it is plural there. Most people believe this or would teach this strictly from an evil spirit point of view, but there's also the angelic. Amen? So here's the definition, the discerning of spirits, supernatural insight from the Holy Spirit. And I was careful to add that in. It's really true for all the gifts, but there's so many sister doodads on TV, and they're glad to help you out as long as you got a Visa card. Discerning of spirits, supernatural insight from the Holy Spirit into the spiritual world. Into the spiritual world to detect spirits and their activity. Supernatural insight from the Holy Spirit into the spirit world to detect spirits and their activity. And add this parenthesis, good or bad. Good or bad. Let me show you quickly one where a servant of the Lord detected angels. Not devils, but angels. Go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. By the way, this is, I think, an interesting footnote while you're turning there. 2 Kings chapter 6. Every single one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament except tongues. You'll find every one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the Old Covenant except tongues. Tongues is a sign unique to the New Covenant. Even the interpretation occurred in the Old Testament, where the king Nebuchadnezzar could not discern what it was saying. The prophet of God was able to read it. 2 Kings chapter 6, go to verse 15. Do you remember how Elisha was surrounded by the army? And look at verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, his personal assistant, if you will. Verse 15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host, an army, encompassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Get the picture. He wakes up in the morning. He walks outside to stretch. Oh, what a beautiful day. And there's this army. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and what did he see? Underline this. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He saw the angels of God. So there was the natural armies, but hey, more are they with us than with them. He saw the activity of good angelic spirits. Acts 16. Quickly, Acts 16. This will be our last text. Acts 16, verse 16. I don't know why Paul put up with it for so many days. Acts 16, verse 16. Remember, he had gone into this area, and there weren't too many people coming to his meetings. There were some women's. I guess there's a women's aglow there. Barbara, we got that one in there for you. It says in verse 14, there was a lady named Lydia. So, I mean, it starts off with a women's aglow meeting, so to speak. Verse 16, and it came to pass, verse 16, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit. You need to underline that. Possessed with a spirit, a demon of divination, fortune telling, met us, which brought our masters much gain by our soothsaying. So did you know that demons have information as well as God has information? And I venture to say that these people on TV that are looking at the little crystal, a lot of it's just fake, but some of those people may in fact be consulting with demon spirits, familiar spirits that are familiar with some information, and they lead people astray that way. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, you know, when I read that, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I don't have any problem with that advertisement. He's a man of God that shows the way of salvation. But you know, you can say it different ways. Perhaps that demon with a mocking, "Ha, these are the men of God that show us the way of salvation." Mocking spirit. Look at verse 18. This she did how many days? Why did Paul put up with it? I don't know. How many of you know sometimes we put up with the devil's harassment in our life and finally you just have enough? Everybody say, I've had enough. Some of you have just let the devil just, you know, try to condemn you and buffet you and harass you and tell you that you're no good and you're not going to make it. And you just need to get enough of it and take authority over the enemy. Verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out the same hour. And of course, that led to a riot. So don't get into the demon casting out business unless you're ready to have riots on your hands. Amen. Now, let me tell you how this has operated in my life. Just a couple of illustrations. I remember once I was in a country and my host was the head of a brand new Christian radio station. And he had done a phenomenal thing because in this country, it's not like here where, you know, virtually every major city has Christian radio station. He had put a radio station in an area that just was void of any broadcasting of the gospel. But he had kind of run into this wall financially. Not unusual for any ministry to struggle and have to believe in that area. But he said, you know, there's just something. This is like a demonic type of wall that I've run into. And we're getting behind and we're not able to catch up. And he said, would you pray with me about it? I said, well, okay, I'll pray with you about it. Now, I'm a visitor there and I don't even speak their language. So, you know, I'm praying. And as I'm praying, I walk by an area where some of the workers were. And I don't go, you know, on witch hunts. But my eyes caught this one older lady that was in there, as quick as lightning, the Holy Spirit said, she's got a devil. And she is against this ministry. She's undermining this ministry through slander, through gossip, through backbiting. Now, I don't even know their language. Now, that boy, you better know if you're on or not, because you could falsely accuse somebody. That'll get you in a heap of trouble. So I'm like, well, I think I'll pray about that. Hallelujah. So I walked on down the hall and I'm just praying, you know, like this. And I brought him over to the side and I said, Santos, let me. And he's bilingual. I said, let me just share with you what I think I'm getting. And remember, I taught y'all to have a humble attitude. I said, I could be wrong. I said, there's one lady in your pool of workers over there that I just felt like something is not right. And he said, which one is it? He'd already had his eye on her. I said, well, and so he said, would you meet with me and her and let's just talk? I said, yeah. We brought her into this room and he began to explain to her in her language that I had picked some things up that we needed to talk about. I mean, her countenance changed. Another voice comes out of her. She begins to manifest violence. She begins to just literally spit and sputter. And she's so mad. She's almost uncontrollable. And she had a devil in her. Well, you know, we wanted to deliver. She didn't want deliverance. She did not want deliverance. She was against that ministry. She said she didn't believe that radio station ought to be there, even though she was glad to take the paychecks. Hello. And she got fired that day. And before I left, and I was just there for a short-term trip, kind of like Young's going on, just 2 or 3 weeks. Before I left, they had gotten their breakthrough because of the discerning of spirits had gone to work and caused that problem to be removed so the breakthrough would come. And I'll tell you, that's miraculous. That's miraculous. And so often in our lives, we are trying to fight these spiritual battles with our natural weaponry. And God says we've got weapons that are mighty before God to the pulling down of strongholds. And some of these weapons are called the revelation gifts. Amen? Have you learned something? Father, I just thank you. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for what you've been teaching us in all of these sessions, but particularly today. Lord, may every one of us lift your hands to God. Just begin to thank Him that you're sensitive to the Spirit, that you're open to the Spirit, that you're willing to let these gifts manifest in your life.